It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It is good to consider God's Word. It is a joy to come and to receive God's Word. And so I want to invite you to turn with me to Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. If you're visiting with us, we've been in this book for almost a year and a half. We're coming to the end. And we have come to the exhortations of this book. And we have come this morning to the call to be content. That's a challenge, isn't it? Be content. God calls us to contentment because He supplies our need. Be content. George Eliot, yes, it's correct in the bulletin, 1L, 1T, said, "The contented man is never poor, the discontented never rich." Contentment. God draws us this morning to the understanding that He is our provision so we can walk through life with contentment. Please pray with me and we'll consider God's Word together. Let's pray. Oh, Holy Father, we delight that You are our God. And we thank You that You have given us Your Word. Teach us by it, that our hearts might be conformed to Your truth and our lives conformed to the likeness of Christ. Father, we by and large are discontent with many things in life. Change that in our hearts. Give us the hope of Christ, the strength to walk in Your ways, and the desire to be content with all You bring our way. We need You now, and we pray that You would bring to our lives the truths of Your Word, that we might marvel in that Word which is infallible, inerrant, and sufficient for our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, the Word of God from Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Contentment. This week we had the privilege for a family in our church to do respite care. They are foster parents, and so they had to travel, and so they left a seven-month-old boy with us. And as I watched how that worked out in the Coleman household, one morning I was kind of watching as my wife was tending to our kids and to this little boy, and I realized that our 15-month-old, Carabeth, that when they were on the ground playing together, she was delighted to have this young boy in our home. But the moment he would have a need and my wife would pick up this little boy, out came a whole different person in my 15-month-old. Great discontentment and distress at the fact that another child would get her affections in ways that she seems to think she owns all the time. Discontent. At moments, content, and then at other moments, discontent. Well, we can forgive that in a 15-month-old, right? We expect that kind of attention and draw an expectation in a small child. But the truth is, if we look close at our hearts, we can see the same things, can't we? We can see that our lives often run in periods of discontentment with snatches of contentment and then periods again of being discontent, right? We can see that our hearts grasp at things and want things, and we find it hard to be contented with what God provides. And beloved, the truth is, there are moments when it is hard work to be content, is it not? There are things that come into our lives that are desperate and where we feel discontented because in a fallen world, life is hard. But God reminds us again, be content. I have you. You see, this is the promise of our God this morning. He has us so we can be content. But I want you to know up front that it is a challenge for us all. You know, it's probably true that maybe 1 in 100 in this room right now is truly contented. And out there in the world, maybe it's 1 in 1,000. But it is a journey that we're all on. It feels like a roller coaster. We wrestle with it at times. But God calls you, be content. Follow His lead, be content. But why? Why is it so difficult? If we ask our hearts, why is it hard to be content? Well, it's easy to come up with several things, right? Out there, it's easy to come up with reasons why we're discontent. That's the way our free market economy works, right? Our free market economy works based on what? Producing discontent. So that they can offer you something that will make you content, right? So when you walk through these doors, when you walk out into the world, when you turn on the TV today, what are you going to see? You're going to be assailed with ads that can make your life better, can give you contentment. Maybe you won't watch TV today. You'll turn on the radio. You will hear ads that will say, this will make your life better. This will give you contentment. Maybe it's in the paper or the print ads or on the internet. There are always offers to make it better. And we live in an economy, in a world that implicitly implies you can't be happy with that, can you? Here's something better. Here's something more. Out there, we're always assailed by things that would make life better so that we could be contented with our lot in life. Well, that's part of the issue. And it's a true part of the issue. But if we're truthful with ourselves, the problem is not just out there, right? Because you feel it right now, don't you? The problem is in here, right? It's a heart issue when it comes down. Our struggle, our wrestling with contentment always comes to the matter of the heart. And we have to wrestle with our heart to be contented. It is work. But wrestle we must. For God wants us to be contented in Him, that we may be contented in life. And the reason we struggle in our own heart is because we believe we deserve what we have. Not only do we deserve what we have, we deserve what we want, right? And so that pride begins to flesh out in our lives, and when we don't get what we want, when we don't get what we think we deserve, what happens? We begin to feel a little self-pity. Most of us truly are like teenagers. At teenage years, parents, check me if I'm right here. In the teenage years, kids become masters of what? They become masters of telling the story to get what they want, right? Have you ever noticed how teenagers always measure up, never down? They never tell you the story about who has less than them, always the story about who has more than them, right? We do that same thing with God, don't we? We never tell God about the story about those who have less than us. We always tell Him the story about those who have more, and it just fuels our discontent. Why? Because we feel this, we wallow in our self-pity. Which really finds its source in our pride. And what we need to realize is that God gives good gifts. He makes His supply. And we need to be content in what He gives. Wrestle as we may at moments and times, our God is good and our hearts must be bound to Him. Why is contentment so important? Contentment is hard because we struggle with the world around us and we struggle with our heart within. But why do we need contentment? Because God intends us to hold on to new life, to be contented. God has made us where we desire security and stability. Don't you desire security and stability in life? Don't you desire things to be right and there to be contentment? It is a part of human nature. We all desire that. But I want you to see this morning that discontentment strips us of any satisfaction in God and His continual provision. And the only way we will become content is when we come and place our settled hope in God and His provision for us. But I must advise you that this walk of contentment is not like a walk in the park on an easy, nice, cool, breezy day. It's not a walk of ease where we never have to work or perspire or work hard at it. It's more like a hike in the hills. It's more like ascending the mountain to the peak. There are moments when it is trying and difficult, and yet there are moments of great exhilaration when we can look out over God's beautiful creation, right? What God has put in our lives. It is like a hike in the hills. But what will see us through? What is the answer to contentment? Two things our author gives us this morning. True contentment is predicated upon embracing God's providence, that is His provision, that which He provides in our life, and embracing God's presence. First this morning, I want you to see in the first half of verse 5, Christian contentment embraces God's providence. Notice in our text, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. It was C.H. Spurgeon who I think noted rightly. He said these words, if you are not content with what you have, you would not be content if it were doubled. If you are not content with what you have, you would not be content if it was doubled. Now most of us think the exact opposite, right? If I were to say to you, I know nobody will raise their hand now. If I were to double everything you have, would you be content? How many of y'all would raise your hand? Well, nobody's going to answer that now, right? I already spoiled the punch. But why is that true? Why is it true that if we doubled what we had, it wouldn't make us content? It's because this. Contentment is never found in possessions. Contentment is found in relationship to the living God. But we are forever trying to find our contentment in what we have rather than who we have, right? But contentment is not found in possessions. Therefore, keep your life free from the love of money. Be careful of the trap of materialism, the author says. Keep your life free from the love of money. Well, that's hard for us, isn't it? It's hard not to fall into that trap. You know, Americans are known as what around the world? We're known as what? The ugly Americans. Why are we known as the ugly Americans? Because each culture struggles with sin. You know, everybody has besetting sins, things that we struggle with again and again. And Americans, and probably unfairly, so, I mean, we probably are the most generous people in the world too. But when we go on tourist trips, we expect what we want and we spend for what we want, and the rest of the world's upset with us, right? The lust of the flesh is evident in our lives. The love of money, that's the way people view us through that. Keep your life free from the love of money. Now, it's not because possessions are bad. It's not that the author here is against possessions or against wealth. He's not against you having things. He's against things having you, right? And that's where our hearts struggle. Not when we have wealth and put it to use for His glory. That's God's intention. God doesn't exalt poverty anywhere in Scripture. It's not that it's better to be poor than wealthy. Actually, what we find is that in Scripture, what we're reminded of is that in God's providence, He provides for all our needs, and it's our goal to be sustained in His providence care. So be free from the love of money. It's important for us to consider that. Why? Because materialism is a trap. You see, covetousness is a penny-pinching miser that is never satisfied with what God gives. It always wants more. When greed controls us, our contentment is destroyed. And so God gives you a command, not to strip you of anything of value, but to give you that which is of greater value, contentment in Him. Contentment in what He provides. This be free of the love of money is a call to all of us. It's particularly a call to those of you who are officers in this church, in the elders and in the deacons, part of the qualifications for officers in the church. Notice for an overseer. Let me turn back here. Turn with me. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. In the qualifications, one of the character qualities of a man of God who's going to lead in his church, verse 3. Notice, he's not to be a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Leadership in the church can't be controlled by its possessions, but it's also true of everyone who is a member. In one sense, Timothy is a manual of how a church is to operate, how a church is to live. And over in 1 Timothy 6, turn there. 1 Timothy 6, notice this, what God's Word says to us. 1 Timothy 6, now, verse 6, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Notice there, it doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. Sometimes it gets translated. The ESV is right here. It's the root of all kinds of evil. That what Jesus said is right in the Sermon on the Mount. We are not to store up for ourselves treasures here, right? Chapter 6, verse 19 of Matthew. We are not to store up for ourselves treasures here. Why? Because moth and rust destroys. Store up treasures where? In heaven. Where moth and rust cannot destroy. And then he goes on, verse 24, what does he say? What does he tell us? Chapter 6, verse 24. You cannot serve, you cannot love both God and mammon, right? You can't serve both God and money. One has to be supreme. If you're trying to hold on to two gods, it will destroy you. Hold on to God. Be free of the love of money. Money is a good instrument. It is a terrible master. It's what the gospel tells us, what our God reminds us. And it is essential that we understand this in contentment. Why? Because contentment is destroyed by materialism. But notice, the real reason behind this is that God wants us to understand His timeless supply. See the timeless supply of the Master. Let your life be free of the love of money, verse 5, and be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. The point here is that everything we have is God-given. Be content with what God supplies and be thankful. You know, the best way to handle your possessions is to be thankful with what God's given and that He has given the daily bread. We ate breakfast this morning. We'll eat lunch after church. God has provided. He promises our daily bread. He makes provision. Let us be thankful. Be content with what you have. It is important that we cultivate contentment because there we can worship our God carefully. You know, there's no such thing as a carefree contentment, where we just walk along and never have any stressors in life, right? But there is a careful contentment where again and again we must walk with God through life, trusting Him for His provision, trusting Him for what He gives. Why? Because our contentment rests in God's providential care. You know, I know some of your pipe dreams. I know what some of you really hope, because every once in a while I think it too. You won't do it because you know that if I were there, I'd be all over you like white on rice. You won't go in and buy that lotto ticket. But some of you think, if I could, when lotto hits 150 million, that's when I'll play it, right? And what if I got 150 million? What would that solve in my life? And you wouldn't do it here, right? Because your preacher would be after you. And I would. But you might go down to Houston, right? For $150 million, you can drive to Houston, right? 4 million people there. You can go down there. I can get a ticket. I know Pastor Wade won't see me. I'll get that ticket. Well, what if you won? What if you won? Would that solve all your... Can you imagine that call coming in? $150 million. You would get that call and you would get your check. You know, you wouldn't be content. You know why? Because after the government gets his part, your check would be about $15.42. No, but they're going to take 39%, right? And so you got to live on 61% of $150 million, 80 million plus, whatever. You got to live with that. But you know what's going to come out of the woodwork? Everybody you've ever known that you've had a conversation with who thinks they're your friend, right? You think that would make it. Life for a rich man is harder than life for an average man. I promise you that's true. Why? Because it extends worries, it extends the challenges, it brings new things that you're not even thinking about. That is not what answers the call of contentment. What answers the call of contentment is the provision of God, trusting in the provision and providence of God. Let me ask the children in the room. Children, you listening? If you're not, tune in. All right? Everybody looking at me, all you children? Here's my question for you, children. Why should you glorify God? Anybody answer the question for me? Why should you glorify God? They're all shy. Come on. I know you can do it. Why? See if this is the right answer. You check me, children. Because He made me and takes care of me. Pastor Wade, get it right? Because He made me and takes care of me, right? The children, thank you. The children's catechism, what does it say? He made me. He takes care of me. What is that? That's the beauty of providence, right? It's the very promise of God. It's what we teach our children. It's what we need to remind ourselves of all of our days. That Christian contentment is the journey in what God gives. And He gives wonderfully. so your heart may rest content. Christian contentment is a journey in what God gives. You know, providence is akin to our word to provide, right? It is the provision of God, the guiding, beneficent care of God in all of life. He promised us to give and to care along the way. Our God cares. That's what providence teaches us. That's what we need to hold fast to. And so the true antidote to discontentment is what? The antidote to discontent in a materialistic world is to continue to look at God and see that He is the source of our provision. So that in our daily lives, we have the joy of contentment in a God who provides, a God who meets us, a God who cares for us. Our God provides. Daily life, what does that look like? Well, today's Mother's Day, right? Moms, aren't you glad you got a flower? Some of you are hoping for a phone call. I got to call my mom when I go home, right? Number's locked in. I will be calling mom today. I need to make the phone call. Happy Mother's Day. But doesn't it bug you just a little bit, Mom, that it's just one day a year? Aren't mothers more special than one day a year? Isn't it, even on a good day, it's easy to become discontent about it, right? There ought to be more. Young moms, when you haven't taken a shower for 36 hours, hadn't changed your clothes for 36 hours because you got one strapped around your leg, you can't get a moment free to take, it's hard to be content, right? And maybe you're older and you've discovered that at about a certain age, the best thing your child knows how to do is stick out their hand like this, right? They walk into the room, the hand's already out, right? And you think maybe they think you are an ATM. Isn't motherhood more than just dispensing cash? You know, but on the other end, there are those who struggle with motherhood today because there's loss or because there's infertility or because there are hard things that have happened in life. You know, that which is good can still be hard at times, right? And what we have to do is fix our hearts upon God, even amidst the hard moments, the hard hours, the hard days of motherhood, right? For none of us, none of you would trade the joy of it for anything, would you? But you need your heart and your life expanded. Graduates, most of them who are in college are gone now. You know, you can tell it just in the room, right? We can see. They're off to Dallas or San Antonio or Houston. You know, where does our church go in the summer? Dallas and San Antonio and Houston. Right? And they've gone into new work. Some of you are still here, but the picture is that, you know, that's the hope of all you've worked for. 2 weeks into the new job, the boss bears down. It will be easy to be discontent of that 4 years and that salary that you've longed and worked for. It will be easy to lose contentment. Why? Because when the pressure comes in, the contentment flies out, and we must nurture and focus and work towards contentment in Christ. I remember when I got my first job out of college, $17,500. That was more money than I'd ever made in my mouth. That was great. You know, I had a friend, he was a roommate, David. I can remember going to work for a couple of weeks. I was excited about getting a paycheck. I can remember getting a paycheck or two and sitting down at the dinner table with him one night, and he said, you know, and I said, you know what? I would be really happy if I made $25,000. If I could just make $25,000, all my problems would be gone. I would be happy. And to his, he's a pastor today too. And to he didn't say a word. He just sat there and smiled at me. He could see the foolishness in my heart. I hadn't accounted. I make a little more than $25,000 a year, by the way, now. And that doesn't account for family. Doesn't account for this, that, and the other. You know, it's never the possession. It's the provider. That's why you need to hold on to God in providence, because it's never the possession. It's the provider that matters. It's not possessions that bring us happiness. It's relationship to the one who provides that brings us happiness and contentment. So, beloved, if you are going to be content today, you must be able to trace your contentment truly to God. It is relationship to God that matters. You must be able to trace it there, or it is sub-Christian contentment. I'm not saying you can't find happiness in something else besides God, but it won't last, is what I'm telling you. If you want its relationship to God, you must be able to trace your contentment to God. You must always trace your finger and whatever you're doing back to the cross, so that it will remind you that what you are doing now is to take you forward to the future in Christ. contentment is found in relationship to God. And that fuels our contentment in relationship with one another. You know what that frees us to do? I don't have to manipulate Lynn to get relationship. Why? Because Lynn and I are instruments in each other's, in God's hands, and in each other's lives of grace and mercy, so that we can find contentment together, we can walk this life, we can encourage one another. Because I don't have to manipulate Lynn. Lynn's not my sugar daddy. He's not my provider. God is the one who provides. And here's the point, beloved. We must find that God's providence is good in our relationships. In our relationship to God, in our relationship to one another, even in our relationship to the world. We expect the world to fulfill all our needs, and it's God who fills our needs, right? In relationship to the world, the surest way to find the path of blessing is to realize that the one who created this world created it for a purpose, for His worship. Seek God. You will be provided for. He promises. Beloved, here is the point I want to drive home, that Christian contentment is a journey in what God gives, and the antidote for our soul when it languishes for more is to return to God and to trust Him in His provision. But secondly, I want you to see not only that Christian contentment embraces God's providence, but secondly, I want you to see that Christian contentment embraces God's presence. It embraces God's presence. Let's start about halfway through verse 5 there. Well, let me just read the whole again. Verses 5 and 6, but pick up about halfway through. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. It's the call to contentment there. Why? Why can we be content? Why? Because God is with us. Notice this half of the verse. For He has said, God speaks. Before we speak, God speaks. He speaks, God speaks. And what does He say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we can speak with confidence. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? John Knox said this, a man with God is always in the majority. I'm not sure we believe that today. John Knox did, and it transformed a world. His world. Those who walk with God are always in the majority. But the author of the book of Hebrews, he believes that. He believes that we should treasure the presence of God. That contentment is treasuring the presence of God. Why? Because God has said, Deuteronomy 31, it's plastered all over the Old Testament into the New Testament, but specifically this verse, Deuteronomy 31, I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. God is presence. God is near. When you feel like He's not near, His promise is that He is there. I can't tell you how often in my office it happens frequently. And I understand it because it happens in my own soul. People will come in and say to me, I cannot feel God. I cannot see God. I want to be near Him, but He is not near. You know what I must say? Even when it bounces, even when my soul feels like rubber and it just bounces off the truth, I must say, the truth is, God has said, He has said. Do you see that there? Who is speaking? Look back halfway through verse 5. He, God Himself, verse 5, for He said, notice, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will not leave. He is there. We must treasure the presence of God. It is God in His character, in His changeless promise, that is our hope for contentment. What keeps us content is that God gives, that God promises, that God sustains. Beloved, there is something to hold fast to. Why? Because your God is near. Not only is your God near, but your God cares. Notice, because God has spoken, we can confidently say what? We can trust God. Contentment trusts His presence. Verse 6 is really a quote of Psalm 118, verse 6 and 7, where He says, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Notice there, the Lord is my help. The Lord is the one who helps. Not only is He the one who draws near, He is the one who cares and He meets our need. And that is the engine that sustains our contentments. Because God is the source. Our present God is the source of our contentment. He is the source of our peace. Let me say it again because I want you to hear it. Our present God is the very source of our contentment. the present God who meets us now. He is the one who sustains us and holds us and is present with us and provides for us. That's the engine that drives our contentment. So that we can say, God is our helper. Notice there, three times the pronoun, the personal pronoun from the psalmist. What is the psalmist holding fast to? What is the author of Hebrews bringing to us? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Notice there, it is the presence of God, the help of God that sustains,
that helps us hold fast to the providence of God.
It's an old preacher story, but it's the prayer that someone has prayed for the help of God in the morning. Man rises in the morning, wakes in the morning rather, and he says, Dear God, so far today I have done all things right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, or selfish. And I am thankful for that. But God, in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed. And I'm going to need a lot of help today. Isn't that true for our lives? We can't make it out of bed in the morning, can we? Without the very help of God. But God is presence and God helps. He sustains. Why? Because Christian contentment is a joy in who God is. Where is God present? Well, every child in the room knows that God is present where? God is present everywhere. But the point of our text, not only is God present everywhere, God is present personally, right? That means He is present in our celebrations. He is present in our crises. He is continually present in everywhere between. But our God is present with us. So our contentment can be sustained in God. Last couple of weeks, my father-in-law, Jack, who's a missionary in Albania, has been with us. One of his favorite sayings that he's reminded me of time and time again, in times of crisis, when dissatisfaction and discontentment would strip away peace and happiness, he will remind me. I believe it was Paul Scherer, I think this is where he got, who said, when God seems most assuredly absent, He is most assuredly present. The cross teaches us that. When God is most assuredly seems most assuredly absent, He is most assuredly present. Why? Because the cross teaches us that. You know, the very Son of God, to ensure that we would be provided for and content in this life, He took God's wrath so that you would not have to. The very Son of God, so that you would be provided for, that you would know the beauty of the presence of God. He forewent ultimate communion and took sin so that we would never have to feel the lack of God's presence. The very Son of God, Jesus Christ, made provision so that we could always know God's presence. There's the source of our contentments. In the hard times, in the good times, in the bad times. We said it earlier. Naked you came into the world. Naked you will go out of the world, right? There's only one thing that you can own for eternity. And so make sure you own it today. The only thing we can own in this world that will last for eternity is Christ Jesus Himself. And that is our contentment, beloved. Own the Savior. There will be hard days. There will be good days. There will be long days, and there will be days when you wish you could get it back because it flew by. But the truth is, God sustains them all. Let us find our contentment in Him. Let me give you the testimony of one saint in conclusion who knew the beauty of contentment. His name was Chrysostom. He was known as the golden-mouthed preacher of the early church. At one point, a Roman emperor, decided that he would banish Chrysostom. And in a conversation before the court, in a conversation with that emperor as the threat of banishment, Chrysostom said, Thou canst banish me, for this world is my Father's house. But, said the emperor, I will slay thee. Nay, thou canst not, said the noble champion of the faith, for my life is hid with Christ in God. I will take all your treasures, trumped the emperor. Nay, but you cannot, for my treasures are hid in heaven, and my heart is there. But I will drive you away from man, and you will have no friends. Nay, you cannot, For I have a friend in heaven that I cannot be separated from. I defy you. You cannot take it from me. There is contentment, beloved. There is holding fast to promise. Most of us can't speak the words of Chrysostom this morning, can we? The truth is, there's a lot that we think can be taken from us. And it would hurt. And beloved, it does. But you will find true contentment when you find in God's providence and presence, you have it all. And most importantly, He has you. Let us pray. Father, our hearts need the reminder of Your goodness and grace this morning. For we long to be content with You. And when the world and our own hearts seem to chase away those thoughts of contentment in Christ, would You bring them to the forefront of our mind, that we might find in You our promise, our provision, Your presence sufficient for us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.